driving Columbia to think. This is The Drive with Derek Gilbert on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle 939.com.
Tomorrow night, we're going to talk to a couple of guys who are basically ahead of the curve when it comes to various aspects of the Internet. Let me explain what I mean. We're going to talk to Detective Andy Anderson of the Mid-Missouri Internet Crimes Task Force, who is doing great work in catching up to guys who are using the Internet to invade your home in a bad way. And then, tomorrow night at 6:30, talk to a guy who is kind of a hero of mine. Joseph Farah, the publisher and editor of WorldNet Daily, will join us. He's got a new book out called Stop the Presses about how WorldNet Daily has changed the way news is reported. He's sort of like a Matt Drudge in that way. WorldNet Daily, his book's well written, and his new book is about how WorldNet Daily has sort of changed the way news is distributed on the Internet. So a couple of guys that I respect a lot tomorrow, and we'll get geeky tomorrow as we talk Internet with Detective Andy Anderson and Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. Tomorrow, Governor Blunt will sign the Deadly Force Bill, which was passed by the General Assembly in the last session, so it's timely that we bring our next guest in here. Todd Burke of Tactical Training Specialties rejoins us on the Eagle 93.9. Todd, good to see you again.
It's good to be back. Thanks.
A couple of things. Let's start off with what this Deadly Force Bill really means to the average Missourian.
Well, the Castle Doctrine going into law, I believe it's 17 to 19 pages, but in a nutshell what it means is this. If you use force, if you act and use force under the guidelines of the law, if you do it legally, you'll have an absolute defense from criminal charges, and you can't be sued civilly by the attackers or their families or anybody else. So it's kind of like the law that protects police officers. When you act in good faith under the color of law and you have probable cause, even if you make a mistake and do the wrong thing, you're protected. So I'm not talking about doing the wrong thing with use of force. As long as you're within the guidelines of the law, there's no repercussions.
It astounds me in the same way that the comments of Secretary Chertoff about not being able to enforce immigration law, not being able to defend against car bombers astounds me, that there are critics out there who think that this bill is pandering to a bunch of gun-crazy yahoos.
Yeah, and step back to Mr. Chertoff for a minute, because I don't have a very high opinion of him. I think with the foibles that FEMA had and the stuff in Katrina, they didn't dig deeply enough when they cleaned house. And just because Michael Chertoff says it, I don't believe it. Personally, I believe we have the ability and the tools to do what's needed. Mm-hmm. It's some of the decisions that are being made, and the people that are making the decisions and not saying go do this, whether you're talking about a fence or cameras or putting people go stand a post on the border. We can do it. And this afternoon, earlier on talk radio, I was listening. They had Ted Nugent on.
Right, yes.
And he was talking about his responsibility, and I agree with this. My responsibility is to take care of and protect my family.
Mm-hmm.
And my borders are my house or wherever my family goes. And I think if I'm not willing or able to do that, I don't deserve to draw another breath. So, you know, if you're not willing to take care of yourself, if you're not willing to be responsible for yourself, then you don't have the right to say anything about anybody else.
Yeah, amen to that. If you've got a question for Todd Burke, by the way, of Tactical Training Specialties, our lines will be open this hour. They are open now at 874-9390 or 800-529-5572. In fact, we've got Bill in Hallsville who's already in line. Bill, welcome. You're on the air with Todd Burke on the Eagle 93.9.
Good evening, sir. Wanted to first commend your guest there, having sat through his course, not having taken it, but a friend of mine took it, and I sat through the whole thing. Gives one of the best courses anyone in this state could take.
I agree. Thanks, Bill.
That's the first thing. Second thing, I do have a question about the law that's fixing to be signed.
Okay.
Okay, the Senate bill. I believe that was actually called 62 and 41. I got a copy of it from the Senate floor right after they, you know, passed it. My question is, they did away with one thing. They added another, but when they did that, and what they did away with was one of the things they did away with is we no longer have to pay the $10.
Right, at the Sheriff's Department for a permit to purchase.
Okay, but who issues that permit? Doesn't say in the new bill.
Well, the Sheriff's Department used to issue it.
Yeah, it used to, and it says you still have to have it.
Now I believe you'd be able to get it right from the gun shop. As long you walk in, you pick what you want, and you buy it, as long as they're able to verify that you don't have, they're tied in the computer network and can verify that you don't have a criminal history.
Okay, because it doesn't say any of that in the bill. It says it's required, you know, that you have to have it.
Right.
Doesn't say who issues it or anything like that. That was my question.
I believe that it is now the responsibility of the commercial occupancy, the gun shop that's selling you the pistol.
Aha, outstanding. And again, I want to say that, you know, excellent course there.
Just thank you.
Excellent. Couldn't be any better. I don't know if you remember me or not, retired military, sit there, young man, took your course. Like I say, anybody out there that's fixing to do this, they couldn't go wrong by going to your course.
Thank you. I hope to see you again.
Yes,
come back.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. And
yep.
I will second that because I did take the course about, what was it, 2 weekends ago now?
Yeah, June 16th.
Right. So I can vouch for that. We'll talk about what all is involved in the course and some of the things that Todd does go above and beyond the course requirements by the state of Missouri. Some very common sense things, I think. The stuff that you did at the end of the course.
Right.
We'll tone it down a bit for the radio when we go through that part. But
okay.
Next we go to Dan in Columbia. Dan, you're on the air with Todd Burke on the Eagle 93.9.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I've seen some pretty neat classes offered in Columbia Parks and Rec, and I was wondering if Mr. Burke had ever thought about offering a class through the Parks and Rec Department.
Wow, that's an interesting question because, Dan, actually I tried. About 2 years ago I sent out some mailers in the regular mail to gyms and places that might post stuff on bulletin boards, and I sent one to Columbia Parks and Rec, and they replied back to me. Somebody called me and asked about getting into the adult education series. And I sent him all the information, told him I was involved, and the fellow that I talked to was very interested, and I never heard anything back. And I tried to call back, and I tried to email, and a few months later I got a hold of him, and he said, well, the upper-ups or whoever was responsible for making the decisions said they didn't want to get involved with something like that. It was just too whatever. And so I took it a step further, and I got 10 letters from graduates, doctors, lawyers, moms that stay at home, just, you know, everybody, and sent it back saying, please reconsider because this is the type of education that people are requesting. And it's the same education that community colleges around the state are refusing to offer. And they haven't called me back since. So I'd like to, but anybody from Parks and Rec listening, give me a call and let's talk about it. Thank you, Dan.
Well,
appreciate your call. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
So, Todd, your background now, how did you get into training people to properly use a firearm for personal safety?
Well, I've been shooting since I was 8, competitively since I was 14, and got into law enforcement when I was 20 and a half, got into the police academy. And those two things just kind of fit together, you know, training with your tools you might use. Always enjoyed shooting and enjoyed seeing other people shoot, and continued my competition, was the co-captain for the shooting team here in with Columbia Police Department for a couple of years, and then Boone County Sheriff's Department. And the training folks, you know, I worked for 17 years with law enforcement training at the university, but as far as the civilian courses went, I didn't really have the intention of getting into them until people started asking. And I did one for a group of friends, and then a second one for a group of friends, and, you know, and so on and so on. And, you know, the word started spreading around, and here we are. And it's just amazing the amount of interest that's out there. And that's, you know, the courses beyond the 8 hour to get your concealed carry. I hadn't planned on doing those either, but people said, okay, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, rifle, shotgun, everything else is just kind of a normal outgrowth of the first one.
874-9390 or 800-529-5572. If you've got a question for Todd Burke, we go back to Roachport now. And Deb, welcome. You're on the Eagle 93.9 with Todd Burke.
Hi, Todd.
Hi.
I have a question. It sounds like you're going to talk about your course, but would you be sure to provide listeners with the requirements that the state has for the instructors? Because I've heard of some instructors not going by them, and it's a little worrisome for me, people carrying guns and not really going through the courses.
Okay. Sure. Excellent question.
Like
any consumer, you deserve the you ought to ask questions, and you ought to know who you're getting your training from. But specifically to answer your question, there's six ways that you can qualify to teach the concealed carry course, and I possess 5 of those 6. You only have to have one. One is to be a certified firearms instructor or personal safety, personal defense instructor from the NRA. That's the one I don't have. You can be a certified firearms instructor. You can be certified by the Missouri Department of Public Safety as a firearms instructor. You can be certified by another governmental agency, such as the FBI. And there might be one more way that I'm missing, but the last four ways that I listed is how I qualify. And then whoever is going to offer the course should be able to prove that in the form of offering you a copy of their certificate.
So getting that certificate up front might not be a bad idea, or at least asking about those qualifications when you're considering taking a course from someone.
Right, and any instructor, when they have a customer ask them, that shouldn't be offended to provide that. You know, they ought to be able to front their bona fides right there.
Well, sure. I mean, if you consider it, you think about it this way, you're basically asking to be trained in how to use something that can take someone else's life. You want to know, to me, it's no different than looking for the qualifications of your surgeon before you go under the knife.
Sure. And there's another good point. Another thing that you should not hesitate to do is ask for references. You know, trust your gut. Some people can talk a really good show, or somebody may not give you a good feeling. It may have all the certifications, and they may not feel right to you. Keep looking. But ask for references, and ask if they can phone or email people from previous classes, and check it out.
Good question, Deb. We're talking with Todd Burke. His company is Tactical Training Specialties. They're on the web at tactical-specialties.com. We'll talk about the qualifications you need if you're considering carrying a concealed weapon in the state of Missouri, and if you get that certification, where that might allow you to carry that weapon elsewhere in the Midwest and around the country. Lines are open for your questions at 874-9390 or 800-529-5572. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is The Drive on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. Talking law enforcement, and Tom Bradley will pick up the thread tomorrow morning. It's Crime Time Tuesday. Well, he doesn't actually call it that, but that's sort of what it is. Captain Brad Nelson of the Columbia PD joins him to talk about the cases being watched by Columbia Crime Stoppers. If you spotted something, you might actually be able to help solve a crime. And you'll hear Tom Bradley talking with Captain Brad Nelson tomorrow morning after 7:30 on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. We're talking with Todd Burke of Tactical Training Specialties about the proper and safe use of handgun for personal safety here in Missouri. And lines are open at 874-9390 or 800-529-5572. That's toll-free outside the immediate Columbia area. And we get right back to those phones. And Mac is online, too. Mac, welcome. You're talking to Todd Burke on the Eagle 93.9.
Oh, thanks, sir. Great show today.
Thank you.
My suggestion for securing the border would to be building the 700-mile fence with illegal aliens.
With illegal aliens.
You start.
You mean use them to build a fence, or actually make the fence out of the aliens?
No. Use them to build the fence. Okay. You start a new database.
Well, you know what, Mac?
When they come to the country, okay, you give them free pass first time, you deport them. They come to the country the second time, 6 months in a labor camp, building the fence.
That's actually not a bad idea.
No, okay. And I think Joe Arpaio of Maricopa County would be good with that, too.
That's right.
That's what I do. I do Maricopa County, let the sheriff set it up, start it from there. He would have everything set up for the entire length of the fence, put him in charge.
Mac, I think you've hit on a brilliant idea.
Thank you, sir.
We had to pass that along to Michael Chertoff. I don't think it'll get anywhere, but it's a great idea. The sad thing is that there was a company that was contracted to build a section of fence down near San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
They were fined for using illegals as their labor force to build the fence.
Jeez.
Oops. 874-9390. We've got a caller from Columbia, an 8-year-old named Farley. Farley, welcome to the Eagle 93.9.
Hi.
Hi, Farley.
Hi, Dad.
I thought you knew who this was. This is a real honor to talk to you, Farley.
Yeah. Dad, is it okay if I learn how to shoot a gun?
Well, of course.
As an 8-year-old?
Yes, and you already have done some. In fact, can you tell me what some of the safety rules are if you're going to handle a firearm?
Every gun is loaded.
Good.
Never point a gun at something you're not supposed to.
Good. Keep
your finger off the trigger.
Until
you're ready to fire.
Excellent. One more.
Know your target and what's beyond.
Nicely done. We can go out soon and we can shoot a pistol or a rifle. Your choice.
Thank you, Dad.
Thanks. I'll see you soon. I love you.
Bye.
I nominate Farley for best call of the afternoon.
That's cool. Wasn't expecting that one.
You should see Todd's face right now. He is beaming. I think you're the same kind of dad that I am. My daughter's a little older. Mm-hmm. She's 17. Now, she never asked me to shoot a gun, but I've had to go through the, Dad, will you teach me how to drive phase. So you have that to look forward to yet.
Well, take good notes, because I'd like to borrow them.
Lines are open. We got Chris calling in on Highway 60 from Highway 63 at 874-9390. Chris, you're on the Eagle 93.9 with Todd Burke.
Have his daughter call in remind me of something. Would y'all happen to know the conservation department in this state used to do a firearm safety course where they went to schools and talked to kids? I think they called it hunter safety, but they had a course. I had it way back when, and I was just curious if that's still going on. And if not, why not, you know?
Yeah, great question. They still do hunter safety courses. I know because my wife's brother, Earl Williamson, he's been doing that for years. Excellent program. I don't know if they actually go to the schools to deliver the program, but I know they're available.
Well, you know, I've always said I find it odd that you were talking about not being in the Parks program and so on, that the same people in the schools who would think it's a wonderful idea to teach your kids about sex and drugs just get all upset when you mention guns.
Yep,
right.
And they're all just as deadly. You know, they might want to know a little something about them.
And I want to throw in a pitch here, because I am disenchanted with the way some schools do some things, but my daughters attend Shepherd Boulevard Elementary, and I have nothing but praise for the faculty and staff there. They deal with things head on. They don't make excuses. The safety of the kids is obviously number one in their minds. During pickup and dismissal in the afternoons, all faculty members are involved. My wife and I were really considering homeschooling our kids, but I am absolutely thrilled with the way that Shepherd Boulevard in particular. I can't speak for the other schools, but some really good things are happening. And I hope it keeps up. We just need to get more fresh-minded folks, people that, you know, want to do the right thing for the right reasons in the right way. I think it's coming around.
All right.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris, appreciate your call. And we go to another guy calling in on a car phone. We got Jim on the highway as well. Jim, welcome aboard. You're on the Eagle 93.9 with Todd Burke.
Hello, Derek. Hello, Todd.
Hello.
My question is this. Say you have, and it pertains to a person with a concealed and carried license and a person without one, as far as the Castle Doctrine goes. Say you have a weapon in your car. How does the Castle Doctrine affect someone that's defending themselves with a weapon in their car, with a license, and without a license? I think there was some little controversy over that. I can't remember the answer to that. I'm going to hang up and listen if I made myself clear.
Okay. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
The Castle Doctrine really, it applies the same if you have a firearm and you're using it in legal self-defense, because in your home and in your vehicle, you don't need a permit. In your vehicle, the law changed when in 2004, they amended Chapter 571, which is the weapon statutes, and you do not need to have a permit to carry concealed in your vehicle. Once you step out of your vehicle, that's a different story. So let me try to answer your question by saying you're out somewhere, you're out in public, and you don't have the permit. You do or you don't. You do have the permit, you're covered. You don't have the permit, you may be guilty of an infraction. It's not even a misdemeanor, but I wouldn't even want to try and hazard a legal guess beyond that. I don't want to try that woulda, shoulda, coulda, because I don't think I'm qualified to answer that. But I hope I helped.
And we'll get to more of your calls after we get past the news at the bottom of the hour here at 874-9390, 800-529-5572 if you're calling in long distance. Also, want to talk about the course, CCW1, taught by Todd, his company Tactical Training Specialties. I will say this, the instructors that you brought in, the
right.
Assistants that you brought in, most of them active duty police officers now.
Right.
And some guys who had quite a number of years of not just police service, but also in training police officers,
right?
Military experience, guys who obviously weren't there because they were just there to pick up a check for working with some people for a few hours. They weren't there to just put in a few hours' time. I was convinced that they were there because they really cared about teaching people the right way to use a handgun, and also about the awesome responsibility of using a handgun.
Sure.
There is, as Farley pointed out, you want to make sure that when you're pointing it at something, you want to make sure that it's something you want to hit.
Right.
You never point it at something that you don't want to destroy. You never put your finger on the trigger until you're ready to destroy it. And you make sure that when you pull that trigger, you know what's behind the thing that you want to destroy, just in case.
Exactly right.
And those were all lessons that were drilled into our heads during the course of the class that Todd taught. And I say drilled in a respectful way because you did a great job of treating the topic with the weight that it deserves, but mm-hmm. also injecting a little bit of humor to keep things light and friendly, especially like the video of the old lady with the automatic
right.
weapons. Yeah. I told him if he drew on me again, I'd shoot him in the tootles.
That's right.
Yeah, classic. So we'll talk about that just a little bit as we continue on, and also more of your calls at 874-9390. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is The Drive on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. Terror events in the UK over the weekend. Michael Savage will offer his analysis, his reasoned and thoughtful, his insensitive and loud analysis tonight after 7 o'clock. That's what he does best. Michael Savage and the Savage Nation, about 30 minutes away on the Eagle 93.9. Now we're talking with Todd Burke of Tactical Training Specialties about concealed carry of a firearm. We'll talk in just a couple of minutes here about considerations, things to think about before making a decision as to whether you want to own and carry a firearm. But we'll get back to the phone here at 874-9390. Bill is in Columbia. Bill, you're on with Todd Burke on the Eagle 93.9.
Hello there.
Hello.
I think that I heard you say, or Todd say, that you no longer have to go to the sheriff's department. You know, you can go directly to the sporting goods store and pay your money, and they run the background check you know, you don't have to apply to the sheriff's department. But I wasn't sure that I heard that, I was driving down the road and I didn't get the number, so I called up the sheriff's department.
Right.
And I asked them, you know, if that was true, and the gal said, well, not from what anything we know.
Not until August 28th.
Not until August 28th.
Right, so if you've got your eye on a pistol and you'd like to save $10, wait until after the governor signs the bill into law, and then I believe it actually takes effect on August 28th.
Okay, great. Yeah, I've got my eyes on the pistol, and I've paid for most of it, and I hadn't gotten my permit to run through yet from the sheriff. And I've even taken a concealed carry permit course.
Excellent.
And don't know whether I want that or need it, but I figure it might be a good thing to have. So.
Well, good to get the basic training on the safety issues and the proper handling of the
right.
handgun anyway.
Right. It was an excellent course. It was down in Jasper County in Missouri,
mm-hmm.
south in Neosho.
Super.
Yeah, it was a great course. It was a week long, several class hours spent, and lots of questions and lots of answers. And they had the law books out there, and they had case law explaining, now look, you know, you better know what your target is. And, you know, somebody's breaking into your house. Well, you can't shoot them defending your property. It has to be defending your life or somebody else's life.
Right.
They made that perfectly clear.
Well, if you'd like some more training, you don't have to drive all the way to Jasper County to get it.
Right. Hey, I appreciate it. Where is your training facility? Where do you train, Todd?
I train on a friend's property that's 62 acres, private property, and we have a formal range and facility mm-hmm. set up.
Okay.
It's in the north part of Boone County.
I tried to find you in the phone book, and I couldn't find... The listing.
What's the number there, Todd? That's a perfect invitation.
999-7222. But don't call now because I've got it turned off in my pocket.
Okay. All right.
999-7222. That's area code 573, of course, if you're listening online at the Eagle939.com. Bill, thanks for your call. We appreciate that.
You bet. Thank you.
We'll get to, again, the considerations before deciding whether or not to carry. We've got someone listening to the audio stream online at the Eagle939.com. This is Brad. Brad, you're calling from where?
From Cameron, Missouri.
Cameron, Missouri. Brad, welcome. You're on the Eagle
93.9. Thanks. Hey, I just had a comment and then a question for Todd. I heard him talking to his daughter Farley about shooting, you know, it's kind of like the Tonight Show. The next letter that's going to come in will be from the people that say, so you teach kids how to carry concealed weapons.
Yeah, yeah.
I think as a contemporary, as an instructor and a longtime shooter myself, and as an official at national tournaments, I've seen some of the finest shooters in the world have been 9- and 10-year-olds that have perfect form, perfect style. They're involved in the sport of shooting, and I think that's an outstanding thing for any young person to learn. I don't think Todd had any intention to imply that they should be out there carrying concealed as well, and we know there's limitations on that. So my segue to the real question would be, are there limitations on who can obtain a CCW? And quite frankly, as Todd's talking about his vitae, has he ever refused to train somebody?
Ooh, good question. Two good questions. Thanks, Brad. I forgot the first one. I got to go to the second one. Have I ever refused to train anyone? Yes, I have. And refused one gentleman over the phone because he struck me all wrong, and I asked a couple more questions, and I ended by saying, sir, I don't think that I'm a person that will be able to help you with what you need. And one other person actually from a class where he was demonstrating what I thought was aggressive and potentially possibly dangerous behavior in the way he was questioning and things he was saying, and he basically selected himself out, and I allowed him to leave the class.
Depart, yeah. First question, Justin. I'm sorry, I was busy looking at notes here, and I spaced off the first question there. Did you catch that?
Okay. It was about age.
Okay, very good.
The age is. In the state of Missouri, you have to be 21 years of age to legally purchase a handgun. You have to be 23 years of age to carry concealed to gain that endorsement. Younger than 21 years of age, as I was when I was shooting, traveling around several states and technically violating some laws because I was in possession of a firearm before 21, you need to be in the custody of your parent or guardian. I do allow younger adults into my classes with parental permission. Under 18, they have to have their parent there, and I do all of those on a case-by-case basis. But under 21, I need to meet and talk with the folks. And like Brad said, it's an excellent way to start. And I don't know if my daughter wants to compete. And Farley is sitting at home right now listening, and she knows that there are consequences if she does something. But we don't really worry about that because firearms are not a mystery in our house, and if Farley or my younger daughter Fiona, if they want to see one or pick one up, I stop whatever I'm doing to do that because they're asking a good thing, and education is power is knowledge, and education's a good thing. So
that's part of the job of being a dad.
Brad, I hope I did your question justice.
All right, we'll squeeze in a couple more calls here, and then just after the break, we'll talk about the various issues to consider before making the decision whether you should carry a firearm for protection. We'll go to Hartsburg now, where Dean is on the line. Dean, welcome. You're on the Eagle 93.9 with Todd Burke.
Yes, I have a question for Todd. Mm-hmm. I have a conceal and carry, and I've been curious in this locale. Mine's out of state, and I know Missouri accepts that, but especially this time of year when you're wearing a thin T-shirt or something.
Right. It's hard to hide a 45 with a T-shirt.
It is very hard. Does local law enforcement look at that if you happen to see somebody, the wind's blowing, you see the silhouette, maybe somebody calls it in?
Good question. I can answer for myself, and I can answer for a lot of local officers that I know. Most of these folks are very reasonable. They don't jump to conclusions, but there's safety issues to deal with. They tend to react very well, and Derek was talking earlier about four of the six that helped deliver the June 16th class for 17 people, which is a very high instructor-to-student ratio.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are very much for the concealed carry, and they think it's a good thing, overwhelmingly think it's a good thing. I think that you should just be prepared to be challenged. One of the things that you have to do if you're going to carry a firearm is be reasonable about it. And when asked by a law enforcement officer or when you encounter one, just stay calm and be reasonable. And they appreciate that.
Ask questions first, huh?
Right.
Yep. And you asked about out of state. You mentioned something. I'll tell everybody they can go to. There's several websites. The one that I do remember is packing.org, www.packing.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it lists all 50 states. The guy that maintains the website does a really good job of keeping the states updated, and it will tell you what states offer reciprocity for what other states. And 39 states are shall issue states. The 8 contiguous states around Missouri are all pretty good, except for Illinois. Illinois and Wisconsin are the two that refuse to issue permits. The 48 others do. So if you ever want to see where Missouri permits are honored and what permits are honored in Missouri, just go to packing.org, and that'll tell you.
I believe Missouri honors all conceal and carry permits, I believe, don't they?
I don't know if it's all, but I know it's a lot of them. I know it's. I was on about a week ago, and there were 24 specifically that had direct reciprocity. I know there's 24 states that do. I'm not sure if it's all of them, though. Dean, appreciate your call. Thank you. Excellent questions. We're going to the instant messenger now. We've got an instant message here at the Eagle 939 using AOL instant messenger. Question from Bramblethorn, not his real name, on concealed carrying in places that prohibit firearms, such as the MU campus. Right. Can you bring a firearm onto campus if you keep it in your car?
By law, your car, yes, is a safe place, but by rules and regulations or specific policies, especially if you're an employee, no, you cannot. And in fact, I had somebody email me that question, and they said where they work, they have a policy that says you cannot possess any type of weapon, and then they said whether you have a permit, legal permit to carry that weapon or not, or anything that could be used to threaten, intimidate other employees. And now we're reaching into toolboxes and baseball bats and, you know, racquetballs and bats and stuff like that. And the answer is state law allows it, but policy and procedure is more restrictive, and that allows the company repercussions. So, you know, if even though you've got a permit to carry and even though it's legally stowed in your car, if your job says, no, you can't have it on our premises, and they discover that, that could potentially be something to lose your job. There's 17 places by Missouri state statute where people that have a concealed carry permit cannot carry concealed by law. And one of those is schools, universities, college campuses. And that's one of the things that we really need to change about our law.
What about a disassembled weapon? Justin wants to know.
Once a weapon is disassembled, it's no longer a weapon. So legal, and that's the reason you can fly with pieces and parts.
What counts as disassembled? Like, say I have a shotgun that has the barrel removed from it.
Then it's no longer a firearm.
No longer a firearm?
Right. Slide off of a semi-automatic pistol, cylinder out of a revolver, barrel out of a long gun, and I'm pretty sure it's still the same way, but the FAA used to rule if you took a gun apart and you put half of it in one bag and half of it in another bag, it was no longer a firearm and therefore didn't need to be declared. I would check on that. You know, I haven't checked since.
Probably still not a good idea.
Right, but it wasn't something that had to be declared, so.
Our guest is Todd Burke of Tactical Training Specialties. His website is tactical-specialties.com, tactical-specialties.com. What should you consider? What are the things you need to think about, the questions you need to ask before making a decision about carrying a concealed weapon? We'll talk about that next. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is The Drive on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle 939.com. Guest Todd Burke is with us this afternoon. He's with Tactical Training Specialties, tactical-specialties.com. Todd, the things you need to consider when you're deciding whether you want to carry a handgun responsibly. What are the things to, the questions to ask?
Okay, I think you need to understand yourself and your motivation for learning armed defense. You know, be able to articulate this not just to yourself, but to another reasonable person. Why do you want to do it? Make sure your motivations are right.
It needs to be something more than just, boy, wouldn't it be cool
exactly
to shoot? Okay.
Exactly. And also, I think you need to understand that training with a firearm is a physical skill, and it requires training and practice. This is a planned event, and you're giving yourself quizzes for an exam I hope you never have to take. Something else, you need to discover venues for training, equipment, and education. You know, like I offer training. Ask me what qualifies me, you know, and I'll give it to you in writing. I'll give you copies of my certificates if that's what you want to reference. Ask questions and make your vendors provide proof. Trust your gut. If something feels icky, it probably is, and keep looking. And finally, I think it's important to know the law. A lot of good questions tonight on, you know, what's the law? We've got a
right.
lot of laws and a lot of little things, but
know the law and be able to prove this by having an intelligent conversation with somebody else that does know the law. Play the what ifs. Mm-hmm. So I think those are important. And then if you talk about the gear itself, you know, we cover the 4 hours that we spend in class on the range, which is a lot more than a lot of classes do. I've had guys tell me, well, we can do it 90 minutes. And I say, good for you. I can't. Awareness, self-control, the ability to articulate when under stress, you know, just like calling 911 when your kitchen's on fire. That's
right.
A stressful event. Be able to make decisions under duress. And these are things that you can self-induce and practice with the help of somebody else. I think it's also important to keep a training log. And so these are all things to consider when you're going to enter into this realm.
And I'll point out that in the course that I took from Todd, he took the time. Part of the reason it took 4 hours on the range was that Todd took the time to instruct us in how to articulate commands. In other words, when you're pointing a gun at somebody, an attacker, a threat, training yourself then to start articulating commands. Don't move. I will shoot you. Right. I consider you so that when the situation, should it happen to arise, doesn't catch you for the first time not able to think of anything to say. It's muscle memory. It's
exactly.
Training. And he also trained us with a couple of sessions on what to do if and when you're in that situation, and then a police officer arrives, and the police officer is behind you shouting commands at you. How do you respond?
Right. Again, stop, police, don't move. And you need to be prepared for that. I've had people tell me that, you know, I don't care what happens. I'm not getting down on my knees for anybody. And my response is then be prepared to die.
Yeah. And, again, that's above and beyond what's required by the state of Missouri. But Todd went out of his way to go through that with us. Again, the coaches that were working with Todd at the course, active duty police officers, former police officers with many years of experience, guys who train police officers, former military, and all guys who were there because they cared about teaching the subject matter and teaching it correctly.
Right on.
You'll find Todd on the web at tactical-specialties.com. His number, 573-999-7222. Boy, sorry we didn't have time to get more calls in and more questions in. We'll have you back here in the next few weeks.
For like sure. That. Thanks very much. Thanks for coming through the course and looking and seeing.
I appreciate you having me. Todd Burke, I'm Derek Gilbert. Michael Savage and the Savage Nation next on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle 939.com.